The homeless population in LA City and County is trending in the right direction, but there is a long way to go.
With two consecutive years of reduction, reducing homelessness is now a trend in LA City and the county.
After a federal judge issues a temporary restraining order against ICE operations in LA County, can we expect immigration raids to continue?
Given the optics and the current status of things in Los Angeles, you obviously could expect the administration to quickly appeal this. I think it will slow them down, but given the nature of the injunction, not stop them entirely.
Welcome to the week kickoff edition of the LA Local for Monday, July 14th, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, Jonathan Service. Wondering, why does the time move so impossibly fast over the weekends, but so dreadfully slow during the week? It's a conundrum, I'll tell you. While the numbers of people living on LA streets is going down, we're still at crisis levels of homelessness. ICE immigration raids in Southern California have been slowed, but likely not stopped. And a teddy bear straight out of the Chucky movies creeps out people in Victorville. Let's start with the results of the Los Angeles homeless count released this morning. Our Craig Figner has what can generally be considered as good news.
The LA Homeless Services Authority, LHASA, presented its numbers for what it calls its point-in-time count for the number of people homeless in the city and county of Los Angeles. And it presented these numbers with bragging rights, so to speak. Dr. Valicia Adams-Kellum says for the second year in a row, homelessness is down.
Homelessness in Los Angeles County declined by an estimated 4.0% during the time of the homeless count, to an estimated 72,308 people. The city of Los Angeles down 3.4% to an estimated 43,699 people.
LHASA also pointed out that this year's homelessness count was done without any pen and paper. The agency invested in a costly app. The app, though, according to many sources, was glitchy and difficult to use.
By the way, keep this in mind when digesting the homeless count figures. A report by the RAND Corporation criticized LHASA undercounting the number of homeless people in some areas of LA City and county. So the numbers show homelessness dropped 4% in the county and 3.4% in the city this year. In addition, there's been an increase across the county of nearly 10% in the number of people now taken off the streets, living in shelters or transitional housing. Our Larry Pearl got some context for all of this from LA City Councilwoman Nithya Raman.
So take us behind the numbers. What can we attribute this drop to?
Well, I want to just clarify the numbers a little bit. So you talked about the drop in homelessness overall. We also saw a decline in the number that really matters most to people, which is unsheltered homelessness. That's the number of people living on the street in tents, cars, RVs. New York actually has more homeless people than the city of LA, but we don't experience homelessness the same way here in Los Angeles because we have so many unsheltered people. And so I think the drop in that number means a lot for residents of Los Angeles. And we saw last year a drop of over 10% in the number of unsheltered people experiencing homelessness in the city of LA, and this year, 8% drop. So pretty big declines in the numbers of people living on the street and corresponding increases in the number of people living in shelter, which means that the city is safer. There's fewer people who are out on the street, and people who are on the street aren't experiencing the kind of dangers they experience on the street regularly.
So how much money do you think we have spent on homelessness this year to reduce homelessness?
This year, well, we've allocated annually, you know, across the city, hundreds of millions of dollars to address homelessness. But this is after years of not spending very much at all. Just 10 years ago, we spent probably we spent much more money putting people who are experiencing homelessness in jail, and almost none, something like $10 million, actually on shelter and services. So we're digging ourselves out of a very deep hole in terms of the number of shelter beds and housing units that we funded. The city of Los Angeles, even after spending a lot more on homelessness over the past few years, still only has shelter beds for a third of its total homeless population.
So I was going to ask you, so how would you respond to someone who would say that millions, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars is a lot of public money spent on this crisis, but we've only seen what some would say, maybe slight decreases here. What would you say to that?
Well, I think we're seeing for the first time significant drops in unsheltered homelessness in the city of Los Angeles. So more than 10% last year, 8% this year. So this is for the first time to me, as someone who's been watching this for a long time, and I was extraordinarily frustrated about the way that things were moving. This is the first time we've seen two consecutive years of significant decreases on this issue in my recent memory. And we've done that at great expense. That is correct. But we also didn't spend on this issue just a handful of years ago. And I think it's going to take some amount of resources in order for us to be able to address what is the largest homelessness crisis in the country in many, many ways. And so I think we are going to have to expect to spend some money. That being said, one of the most important things that I work on as the chair of the Housing and Homelessness Committee is to bring about greater transparency and accountability on this issue. We established through this last budget cycle a Bureau of Homelessness Oversight in the city for the first time. I can't believe it didn't already exist, but I saw that it didn't exist. I created it at the city. And now we're going to have a lot more insight and transparency into not just how much we're spending, but exactly what those dollars are doing, how many beds we're creating, how many people we're moving off the street every month and every year, and if every single dollar that we're spending is actually going towards the thing that we're funding.
So why are we still seeing tent encampments pop up? I mean, are we not dedicating enough money to solving the problem? And should resources be better used, perhaps? Or do we need different solutions to tackle this?
So for a long time, I think even at the federal level, actually during the Bush administration, so it wasn't a particularly left-wing or right-wing thing to do. It was just an approach towards homelessness. They really focused on building permanent housing to address homelessness and not building shelter. Over the last few years, what we've done here at the city of Los Angeles is say that sheltering is important. Getting people off the street is important. And so we've actually spent more money on building more shelter beds, transitional housing, than we have in the past. And for me, that has been an important intervention. I think we will continue to see drops as long as we are continuing to focus on the issue. But I want to say one threat that appears on the horizon is that we're going to be losing a lot of the federal funding sources that go towards homelessness. Already, thousands of housing vouchers that were used to house people during the pandemic, though the funding for that is being pulled out early. So we're losing money for 7,000 vouchers across the entire system that are federally funded. We're potentially losing Section 8 funding. They're saying Section 8 vouchers are only going to be valid for 2 years instead of as long as people need it. And so with the loss of these federal funds, I think what we're going to have to do looking forward is to make sure every local city dollar, every county dollar, and every state dollar is being used as carefully as possible to fill those gaps and to make sure that the people who are already housed are staying housed and to make sure that we are getting new people who are experiencing homelessness off the street as quickly as possible. And that's going to be a huge challenge.
Sure. Gotcha. LA City Councilwoman Nithya Raman, also chair of the Housing and Homelessness Committee. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you
Thank you so much.
Yep.
I think it's fair to say there's undoubtedly progress being made on reducing the homeless population in the city and county of Los Angeles. It's also fair to say that before COVID, the numbers looked far more manageable. The homeless population really exploded between the years of 2020 and 2022. So, like we said at the beginning of this, still a long way to go and much work left to be done. What's next for ICE operations in Los Angeles County after Friday night's temporary restraining order from a federal judge? It's way too early to say ICE raids are finished in our area. It's also fair to say that there will be some changes coming. Before we even get into the segment, some breaking news here on The Local. Trump administration lawyers have now filed an appeal against that order by an LA federal judge. The attorneys are seeking an emergency stay of the order. Our Margaret Carrero talked about all of this with John Sandwick. He served as the acting director of ICE in the Obama administration.
I would imagine it's going to slow them down a little bit. I mean, the injunction doesn't actually block ICE from engaging in the types of operations we've been seeing. It just requires them to ensure that they're, you know, they have reasonable suspicion before they stop anyone. Now, I think ICE will tell you a couple of things. One is they'll say, we are, you know, we do have reasonable suspicion. We're relying on factors other than, you know, race and ethnicity, things like that. And the two is that some of our interactions are consensual in nature. You know, the individuals are giving their consent and they're not actually detained. But all in all, I think that, you know, a couple of things. I mean, given the optics and the current status of things in Los Angeles, you obviously could expect the administration to quickly appeal this. But secondly, is I think it will slow them down, but given the nature of the injunction, not stop them entirely.
Yeah, the temporary restraining order against ICE raids, it seemed to be somewhat narrow. Can you kind of explain how the judge singled out warrantless raids without reasonable suspicions of illegal immigrants being present at raid sites?
Yeah, so in some ways, what the court's order seems to me is basically just reinstating what is existing law, right? Not engage and not stop individuals unless you have reasonable suspicion that they're in the country unlawfully. And I think the court's concern was that ICE was operating without actually that suspicion, right? The court basically finds that ICE was relying on factors that were not necessarily indicative of any sort of, you know, criminal misconduct or violation of immigration law. So people's race or ethnicities, the language they spoke, or just the mere fact that they were, let's say, in a Home Depot parking lot. And the court found that, you know, looking at those factors or relying on those factors alone was insufficient to satisfy the Fourth Amendment's requirement that law enforcement not detain someone, even temporarily, to investigate further unless they have reasonable suspicion. So, you know, in a way, what the court has basically done is, as I said, I don't think it's going to stop ICE because I think the agents are taking the position that they're relying on more than these factors. But I would expect that the officers are going to be more careful now to be in a position to document what those other concerns were, right? Be able to document why it is they had reasonable suspicion.
Let's circle back a little bit to reasonable suspicion. What might count as reasonable suspicion for ICE agents to detain suspected illegal immigrants? I mean, will hanging out at a Home Depot or a car wash cut it anymore?
No, I don't think it should, and I don't think it ever should have cut it. And this is one of the challenges of immigration enforcement. It can be very difficult to identify reasonable suspicion about somebody's immigration status without relying on these kind of factors that, frankly, raise constitutional concerns. I think this is one of the issues that, you know, ICE agents receive training about this. They're trained to look at, you know, consider the totality of the circumstances. Again, as I said at the outset, I think in many instances, ICE agents are very good about engaging in what they would say are consensual interviews of individuals, getting individuals to talk to them without, and answer questions that might then reveal their immigration status. But I think, look, this raises larger issues as this administration, in order to force multiply and get additional law enforcement resources out on the streets to kind of help with this mass deportation mission, is pulling in agents from across, you know, state and local law enforcement or other federal law enforcement agencies that don't have training on the immigration law. And it can really lead to these kind of practices where you're relying on factors, you know, that, you know, violate the Fourth Amendment by, you know, just doing it based on appearance or language or the physical location.
Sandwich says the Trump White House mandate that ICE agents make 3,000 arrests of suspected illegal immigrants every day is what's been driving their hyper-aggressive tactics. Finally tonight, a grotesque teddy bear straight out of a horror movie caused a hell of a stir in Victorville over the weekend. And spoiler alert up front, so y'all don't get too grossed out. Turns out the bear was literally out of a horror movie or haunted house. An artist across the country is taking credit for creating the morbid teddy bear that drew a police response in Victorville. The bear was made with fake human skin that looks stitched together. It's really gnarly looking. It was found outside of an AM/PM store yesterday. San Bernardino County Sheriff deputy showed up. The coroner actually also accompanied them to take the bear away. No word on how it got there or whether it was put there as a prank. Robert Kelly of Darkseed Creations in South Carolina says he mailed the bear. To someone in Victorville who ordered it off of Etsy, where Kelly sells some of his creepy creations.
I want to be proud of my work and really excited at the fact that it was able to create that stir, while at the same time not necessarily condoning that it was done, if that makes sense. You know,
you can see a picture of the gross bear on the CanX Instagram page. Kelly caters his art to haunted attractions. The human skin teddy bear sells for $165. Christmas is coming up quicker than you think, people. Be sure to order that in-demand human skin teddy bear for your loved ones today. This has been the LA Local for Monday, July 14th. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Wishing you luck on surviving the week ahead. See you back here tomorrow.